The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with my husband, Fell Realtor.
Pat Devaney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie.
How are you this week?
Good. You beat me to it.
Uh-huh.
I'm good.
I'm doing fine.
Yes, and you look lovely.
Thank you. We're here today with Bruce Bicknell, who's an architect from the city of Scranton. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Second week in a row. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. We discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many full-time realtors. Our Century 21 Quality Service Award-winning office has been listing, appraising, selling real estate for over 40 years during the week.
Feel free to email us with any questions you have, or if you'd like to suggest a topic, at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
344-6724.
Like the girl on the commercial, 6724.
Okay. Feel free to friend us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Also, to view our listings, search the MLS listings. Go to jruddy.com, jruddy.com, where we also have all our radio shows archived, and we have some really neat realtor videos. Okay, Bruce Bicknell, architect, who graduated from school in 1958, lived in 8 different cities, 7 different states, has been practicing architect all over the nation, correct?
Right.
Pretty much? Okay. So you know your stuff. You have a very broad and extensive understanding of design. You're presently pretty much focusing, you're retired, but you're doing 6 different projects right now, all residential.
Right.
Okay. So when people come to you to do their design work and choose you and select you, are you pretty much part of the process from the start to finish?
I would prefer to be, because the architect takes a responsibility to a large extent of finding out the scope of the project and what the budget is, and the two of them should match at the end, because so many people get disappointed and their ambition is so much more than they can afford. They'll design a $3 million house and have $1 million to pay for it. That's sad, because then nothing positive has happened for anybody.
So what's the first step? You meet with the people, you...
Try to discover what their budget is.
Okay.
Which is embarrassing for some people because they don't want to tell you. And then I try to find out what the scope of the project is and what they want and need. And many times today, because of the computers, they'll show you something that they have ripped out of a magazine or found on the computer and say, this is what they want.
Right.
2 weeks later, they will have found something else that they want.
Mm.
2 more weeks and they found something else they want.
Okay.
So this continues, and you have to make them make up their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And have it go back to the basic need of meeting the budget.
Right.
And meeting codes and fitting on their lot.
And so you discover what their personalities are. And last week we talked about how sometimes the gentleman will defer to the wife or the significant other, and then 2 weeks later come back and then want to have a say. So you really have to really figure out what's important to them and how to proceed from there.
I hate to tell them that I'm aware of I can predict what's going to happen, because I've been through this so many times.
Sure, you can read them like a book.
So many times I've been met the husband, the wife will select me, and then I'll meet the husband a week later, and he'll say, as he goes out to the garage to work in his shop, that she's the one that takes care of it, because she thinks, he has the impression that its design is something kind of effeminate, and that he doesn't want to participate. But then pretty soon he wants to participate more than she does, because he knows how to saw a 2x4, and he's worked in construction and fixed up the basement, pounded nails. And then you get them in conflict, because she'll think something's pretty and he thinks something is stupid. And you've got to resolve their problems, or else you'll never get anywhere.
Sure. So do you find you have the most success when they're both part of the project from the start?
Absolutely.
Okay. And being somewhat on the same page, although there's no two humans right. exactly alike. As long as they're married, they're going to have a difference of opinion. So
really?
Who usually wins out? Who usually wins
out? Wait,
out?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The woman.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, I Bruce, give her whatever she wants.
I know you both, so I could predict.
I'm sure you could.
Okay.
All right. So you like to draw.
Right.
You don't use a computer. But
that's
a lot of people today in architecture, architects, do use computer designs.
Most everyone in architecture today, I go to get my prints and younger people will stand there and say, "You drew that?" And I say, "Yeah." And they say, "Why?" And I work for two people up in Dunmore that tell me that they make fun of me by saying that I'm the only architect in town that draws with a quill. Because I like to.
Hey, it works for you. And that's what you like to do.
Pencils. I don't use quills.
Yeah, well, you can erase them, right?
Yeah.
So what are the steps in the design process? You first establish the budget. Then what?
Know where you're going to build it. You need to have a piece of land. You have to describe things that you want this building to, how you want it to work for you. How many cars you want to put in the garage. How many children you plan to have. It's a very personal event, planning a house.
It so should. You go right to the vacant piece of land. That's
oh, yeah, that's where we go first.
Okay.
And look it over.
And do you usually have a difference? Maybe you feel that something else should be done? Do you share that?
I don't tell them that because
okay.
I don't want to argue with them.
Right.
I want to manipulate them. I'm very passively aggressive.
Okay.
Aggressively passive.
Okay. So you pretty much just let them decide what they want, despite what you see there.
I want to prompt them to tell me what they want. And both the man and the woman will have totally different opinions and even sometimes want to talk to me privately.
Okay.
And then I assemble all that information to accommodate what they're talking about.
And do you ever have a client that tells you that they want you to come up with the floor plan, you come up with the design, the look, the exterior, the interior?
More often that'll happen when I'm working with one client.
Okay.
And that is more commercial.
All right.
Residential is totally different. Residential has got to be sympathetic to everybody's feelings.
Okay.
Whereas commercial is money.
All right.
Yeah.
And so they'll pretty much depend on your opinion.
Commercial does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Last week, we talked about why the washer and dryer hookups are in the basement, what you're doing in today's design in terms of townhouses, where you're putting bedrooms, that the people that you're actually building for, the people that own the townhouses, used to live in the first floor, but that's not so much the case. They're going to the second floor. They have the bedroom, the master bedroom, and the master bathroom on the second floor due to the fact that the other people, younger children coming back from school, living in these townhouses, which wasn't the case 10 years ago, right? Okay. So things are happening. What else do you see out there that is taking a hold of the residential design process?
I think something else that I'm noticing is that senior citizens today live longer and are far more apt to be insulted if they are told they can't climb stairs because most of them want to climb stairs. They want to live like everybody else and don't mind going upstairs at all. And don't want the house to be totally made for wheelchairs and infirmity, because if they're not there yet, they don't have that need. They may have to accommodate a relative that they're taking care of, and that would be a special kind of a apartment within the house. That's happening to one of the jobs I'm working on right now. But most people that are seniors don't want to wear T-shirts saying I'm a senior. They may hang out together at McDonald's, but not in houses.
Okay. All right. We're headed towards a break. Before we go, Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Don't miss your opportunity to purchase this beautiful ranch home located in a secluded area, minutes from major shopping centers, the Viewmont Mall, and Interstate 81. This beautiful home is located at 538 Henry Street in Dixon City. It has over 2,400 square feet of living space on 1 acre of land with beautiful in-ground pool with complete privacy. There is no work to be done here. The kitchens, the bathrooms are modern, new central air furnace unit. It has a 200 amp electrical panel, a newer roof, a two-car built-in garage, hardwood floors, the list goes on and on. So check out this four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home located on 1 acre of land at 538 Henry Street in Dixon City for $199,000. That is listed by Trish Conway of our office.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Women more likely to seek homeownership than men, a poll finds. This is a recent poll from TD Bank, which was conducted in April 2012. Finding that women are nearly 10% more likely to aspire to home ownership than men. This is a very interesting poll. TD Bank surveyed more than 1,300 consumers across the U.S. to better understand attitudes surrounding home ownership and the American dream. The survey found that 64% of women believe home ownership is essential in defining the American dream. In comparison, only 52% of men felt owning a home was important. TD Bank also examined the perceptions of current rents and homeowners. Of those, 66% of current female renters stated they intend to buy a home in the future, as opposed to 50% of the men. As the home buying market continues to stabilize, our survey tells us that Americans, and women in particular, are looking to buy homes. We believe buying a home is a significant milestone in anyone's life, they said. Study results also reveal that women deem home ownership, a stable career, and having a family most essential in defining the American dream. Home ownership leads as the primary achievement at 92%, followed by a stable career at 84%, and having a family at 81%. Other key findings of this survey include half of current female homeowners reported buying their first home between the ages 25 to 34, 20% of women cited the American dream as their biggest motivation in buying a home, compared only to 15% of men. At the time of purchasing their first home, women felt proud, 51%, and excited, 66%. It's break time, so we'll be back shortly with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Does your home represent the person you are today, or does it represent the person you were 30 years ago? Now is the time to buy a home that fits your present needs. No three-car garage or backyard putting green, or maybe you just want the simple things. A private den where you can get some work done, or a finished bar where you and your friends can enjoy a few laughs. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that gives you the best value for the next 30 years. Whether it's time to move up or you are simplifying your life, but don't want to sacrifice comfort, call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of the gold standard.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, if you have questions, we have answers.
In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate.
You're rejoining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
And we're here again with Bruce Bicknell for the second week in a row. He's an architect from the city of Scranton. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've been doing architecture work since 1958?
I graduated from college in 1958, but I wasn't licensed until 63.
Okay, 1963.
But I was doing architecture all that time.
Okay. As a, what do you call it, an apprentice?
Apprentice.
Okay, all right. Now, before the break, we were talking about you being involved in a residential project in the design process with, say, you know, a couple, and you get a sense of what they want, a feel for what they want. You go out to their land where they want to build, and then you're part of the design process from start, and you like to be, to finish, but not always so, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, when they're choosing their builder, what suggestions do you have to somebody that wants to go out there, build a home, doesn't know who they want? Do you help them in that area? What do you suggest that they do and don't do, please?
Here in Scranton, a small remodeling job might be done by the person himself. It's like fixing cars. Everybody in Scranton knows how to fix their car. And yet when I took my car in to get fixed, I wondered why I had to wait. They said it's because everybody in Scranton fixed their cars. And people like to build, the guy of the house likes to build his own stuff. So if you're remodeling, that's one way. Another way is if it's a medium-sized job, like it's a renovation of some sort, you might want to hire a friend that you know or a relative that you know that's a contractor, your father-in-law or somebody like that. If you're building a new house, then that's where you should start looking at contracts and bidding the job and taking a look at what three different contracts, at least contractors, would propose as a cost for your building.
So you have these plans and you present the plans to the contractor.
They should be plans that are approved by the building inspectors and building authorities, and then put them out to bid. Unfortunately, some people will always take the lowest bid. Even if it's dramatically lower, they should stay away from that bid because there must be a reason why one contractor out of three is much lower than the others. And it's happened to me a couple times here in Scranton. That low bid ends up in bankruptcy and a mess for everybody.
What would be the range of prices for new construction per square foot? What would be a safe range?
Well, it is varying right now dramatically because of the recession. So many people in construction are out of work. And because of their need for work, the prices have been reduced substantially in the last few years. You could probably build for $90 a square foot, depending on how elaborate you want your house to be. Houses that want to be very elaborate, like $1 million house, those costs could get up to $250 a square foot. A three-story space is going to cost a lot more than a one-story space, and yet the square footage is the same. And the elaboration that some people put on all these different roof structures, that's expensive. A simplex house, which is on your own foundations, would be an idea of the most economical way to build because they're prefabricated. Once you get into custom building, your costs are going to go up. And so to say that this number will work for everybody, it won't. It can. Some houses with marble all the way through it can cost up to $350, $400 a square foot. Because they can get into elaborate. It's like 10% of your cost of a house ought to be invested in landscaping. So many people won't put in any landscaping at all, and just a mowed lawn. And that makes your house, it devalues your house, because it's kind of an eyesore. It could be enhanced so dramatically by, if just 10% of the cost of the house go into landscaping, you'll really have improved the value of your house.
Well, it adds curb appeal too,
right?
And a lot of character. And so do you do that type of?
Yeah, I do landscape plans even on the side for houses. And that's something that we took a year in school to do, because the forestry school is at Syracuse University, and we took a year of landscape architecture from the forestry school. And that's been very helpful to me to appreciate that. The fact that that's a very integral part of a house.
Right. Just as much as the inside, the
kitchen. We just sold a house, and it was a direct result, I think, of as the landscaping was beautiful.
It was so inviting.
When you walk up to this house, you pull up to this house, you go, man, this house is beautiful, before you even step foot into the property.
Simple little things like putting so many houses in town will make their front look elaborate with curb appeal and then ignore the back. And there's been instances where I've put shutters on the back, and the neighbor behind them thinks that's really beautiful because they have to look at it too.
Sure.
And getting your backyard to accommodate part of your outdoor experience is nice. It helps sell the house.
So you, getting back to choosing a builder, you do suggest, recommend interviewing and putting out to bid.
Right.
At least three?
I think that three gives you a cross-section of what you might expect. You find some people reluctant to give you a bid, but I think in today's climate, you'll find any contractor wants to bid because he needs the work.
So cheaper is not better. And you mentioned how, because new construction has, you know, due to the economic downturn and recession, has suffered tremendously in the last several years, that people are hungry for the work. So the labor is not as much as it once was.
Right.
But building materials have significantly increased, have they not?
Not necessarily. Almost, and I think this is true all through history, that 50% of the cost of a building is going to be labor and 50% is material.
Okay.
And that is held true even in the 20s.
So what you save on the labor, maybe on the cost to purchase the material, it just evens out?
Right, and there's more economical ways to construct a building.
Okay.
And I think that's getting more and more popular. Architecture traditionally is the first, when a recession is coming, architects will be the first people out of work, then construction will be out of work. And in recovery, like we're going through right now, architects will be the first ones to be hired. I'm busy right now. And then in a few months from now, labor will be intensive and it'll come back again.
The builders will be busy.
And it'll have a lot.
I hope you're right.
It has a lot to do with the recovery.
Okay. All right. So then we're hopeful, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm hopeful because things are busy for me right now.
So you're seeing the signs that it's going to pick up.
Right.
Okay. Do you see a call for, it's a little bit more expensive, but are you seeing a call for, in your line of work, for green products? Green building.
Yeah. The Marywood University is the first green architecture school in Pennsylvania, and in probably in the Northeast, is totally devoted to this subject. And I think that green is going to be far more important than it ever was as soon as people are educated to it. I think it's a very, I give Marywood a lot of credit for starting that.
Okay. So how does that transfer over into the residential design? What are people doing? What do you see people doing? Where is the emphasis with the green design?
Well, your building codes will do a lot of things. Like right now, your windows are dictated to the R ratings, and the studs now are 6 inches instead of 4 inches. You have more insulation in your houses. Yeah, solar is getting to be, can be integrated and be attractive. There's all this kind of stuff that's happening.
Okay.
One of the things that people in Scranton have done, which I think is ugly, to save heat bills, they've boarded up all the windows in their house. And I see that all over town in the old houses.
Mm-hmm.
And to live in that also is dangerous because new codes now demand egress on the second floor. You've got to be able to have a size enough, a big enough window to jump out of. And these little windows that you see all over town are hazards. And I think that all these things together, zoning, building codes, common sense, green, have a lot to do with what the future is in architecture and construction and residential construction.
Do you believe in reconstructing, preserving, or tear it down and start it over?
Our zoning has, here in Scranton, is done something I think it has to be accommodated. The houses like you live in, the up in the hill section where you have originally two units in one, two front doors and in three floors, they've turned those into six apartments. And people who go in with a considerable conscience to renovate them find that they have to have 1.5 cars parking for every unit they've got in there. And there's no room because these buildings are 7 feet apart and there's no backyards. And that means you have to buy the house next to you, tear it down to make parking. And that's going to put an awful lot of low-income people out of housing. And I think the zoning has to accommodate that fact somehow or other and be more generous to both the need for low-income housing and having more parking facility off-street.
Okay. cluster housing. That's something that we don't know very much about here, but because you've lived so many different places, 7 different states, 8 different cities, you've seen this. Why don't we have it here? What is it? And what do you see happening with it?
Most of your local municipalities will have a zoning regulation that a residence has to have 9,000 square feet, let's say, to put one family residence on. If you do cluster housing and buy a substantial piece of property, that is reduced to 4,000 square feet per residential unit. So you can cluster the buildings and have more green space as a result of this. And it's a very attractive way to accommodate what is legally in zoning. And I'm doing one right now where I don't think anybody in the city is familiar with what they've already got in the zoning that permits this. And I did one in Aspen 50 years ago, and that was very successful because the clustering of the houses, they can have differences, but they look like a large unit, and yet they're separated by the zoning of 7 feet between them. And you can have a lot of municipal space and a lot of open space where you can walk and hike and do things like that. It's a solution to a problem that's far more effective economically.
Okay. So do you see it taken on here? Or?
No, I don't think it's going to be very popular because I think the single family house here in Scranton is, we're not the large municipality where you have to, some people do, but drive all the way to Binghamton to have a job. I think more and more people are moving into downtown, really, because it's so much more convenient than commuting. And so, but I think people like single family residences.
I think you're right. Okay. Well, we're just out of time. Thank you for being with us for 2 weeks in a row. Bruce Bicknell, architect from the city of Scranton.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed talking all the time.
We did as well. Thank you. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home that is in move-in condition. It is located at 119 South Merrifield Avenue, Scranton, for $105,000. This home has a modern eat-in kitchen, a newer bathroom with a jetted tub, and has a huge family room that is 23 by 20, and has a nice living room, a great deck, a beautiful fenced-in yard, all on a 50 by 150 lot. It has a new furnace, a new roof, and new insulation. So if you're looking for a move-in condition, 3-bedroom home on a great lot, check out 119 South Merrifield Avenue in Scranton for only $105,000. And that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And the experts say, this is from the ChicagoTribune.com, the experts say if you haven't refinanced or bought a property and you want to, your outlook is to get it done in the next 18 to 24 months while interest rates flirt at historic lows. There's a lot of economic and political uncertainty. Bond traders are flocking to the places that look like the safest bets, which are the U.S. stock and bond markets. The so-called flight to quality means bond and stock prices go up and mortgage interest rates go down. But what happens when the world's economies begin to stabilize? Money will flow to the best opportunities. When money flows out of the U.S. stock and bond markets, prices may drop and mortgage rates may rise. Maybe not astronomically, but this historic mortgage opportunity will change. In early September, the Federal Reserve, at their annual retreat, said that interest rates would stay low through 2014. So again, the experts say if you haven't refinanced or bought property and you want to, your outlook is to get it done in the next 18 to 24 months while interest rates remain historically low. My tip today is a clever use for hydrogen peroxide. Clean your cutting board and countertop. Hydrogen peroxide bubbles away anything left after preparing meat or fish for dinner. Add hydrogen peroxide to an opaque spray bottle because exposure to light kills its effectiveness. Spray on all your surfaces. Let everything bubble for a few minutes, then scrub and rinse clean. It's that time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions at questions@jready.com. That's questions@jrudy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Have a safe and happy Halloween.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.